We're trying something new now. We used to be preaching every morning and every night in the neighborhoods, on the streets. But the mornings were getting pretty bad. We were basically preaching to walls, and you know, a couple of our dogs would come out and bark and listen to us, you know, root us on. But so we weren't seeing nothing, you know, in the morning. So in Mexico, unlike the States, they have open markets everywhere throughout the whole city. And they put up on the streets and they put up their tents and they sell their produce and their rice and beans, whatever, you know, they're selling. And so we've been going to those and getting real good response. I mean, I'm not exaggerating, but I would say 100 people hear the gospel on a daily basis. I mean, that's probably a low number, but just many, everybody who needs to eat goes to these markets. So, I mean, you know, eating is a necessity, so people are there. And so we go there and we have this one market. They have this, they have markets by colors. They have these tarps and they're yellow and blue and green, all these. Well, we have this one market that's blue. And there's this lady there. Boy, she does not like us. Does not like us one bit. She starts hooting and hollering and telling us, get out of our market and all this stuff. Well, one day we were out there and Bill was preaching. And the lady started throwing fruit at Bill. so at least they know that you know what we're preaching is not what they're believing. And so we're having a good time, and we just hope that the Lord does bless this. We don't want to just go out there and get persecuted. You know, we don't want to go out there and just give trouble. But we really want them to understand that we're out there so they can get saved. We're out there because we do have a message and we do have something to give these people.
Amen.
You know, and I was thinking about this, you know, because all these people, they go out there and they have a work to do, you know. They're in business. They need to make money, and they, you know, that's the world, you know. We all have something to do, you know. We all got busy lives, you know, whatever. Well, you know, I wanted to talk to you this morning about a proposition, about a business proposition, okay, this morning. I was reading here in Luke chapter 2. I want you to see something that I thought it was very interesting, and it's probably an old verse. It's probably something that, you know, we've read many times before, but, you know, like anything, you know, the Lord, uses old verses, you know, to speak to us once again. It says here in Luke chapter 2 verse 48, it says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Hey, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, Jesus, he's 12 years old, you know, right here, and he's wiser beyond his years, you know, and he's sitting there, and his parents are obviously upset. His parents are obviously worried about him. And he said, "Don't you know, that I'm doing my father's business?" You know, and this word kind of stuck to me. I said, business? Is really the gospel? Is it a business? You know? And I started thinking, well, you know, we think business, whenever we hear the word business, whenever we go into business, it's always to make money. Ain't that right? Business is money. I mean, the only reason why we get up on Monday mornings to go to work is to make money. You know, that's why we go, to make money. Well, you know what? God's plan for salvation is also to get something. God's business is saving souls.
Amen.
You know, and as I was starting to think about this, I thought, man, you know, we're coming to a mission conference, and I was thinking about this verse, and then I remembered that I saw on TV just the other day, like a couple weeks ago, CNN, you know, everyone was hooping and hollering and screaming because the Dow got to 10,000, you know, and I have no idea what that means. But anyways, they were jumping, you know, screaming 10,000, thinking, wow, this is great. Who knows why they're screaming, but it's got to 10,000, you know, and then I started thinking, you know, we're coming to a mission conference. Well, you know what basically this is? I started thinking about business. I said, this is like a shareholders meeting.
Yeah, amen.
You know, that's what we're doing.
Amen.
This week, we are speaking about God's business, and we are telling you and reminding us that we do have shares,
amen,
in,
amen,
God's business. You know, and as I started thinking about it, I said, you know what? Whenever you call the 1-800 number, you know, to find out about the investments, you know, they send you a prospectus, right? In the mail. They send it to you and you open it up and it has all these pie charts and everything. And it says, you know, if you invest a dime in 20 years, it's going to be $1 million or I don't know, just some extraordinary amounts, you know? And I mean, you know, some people have done it, you know? Coca-Cola, when it's come out, they say, oh, what's Coca-Cola? But now, man, if you invested something little, boy, you're just rich now. But you know, I mean, who knows? But anyways, so you got this prospectus. Well, you know what? I got a prospectus right here. You know? And what the book said, what my prospectus says, is that whatever I invest in God's business, I ain't gonna lose. You know, there is many things that we can lose in this world. Lots of things, man. We can lose everything. I mean, just talking about this year, how many of you guys have fears about the Y2K? I mean, everybody, man. You know, I'm down there in Mexico, and me and Bill, sometimes we sit around talking, you know, and it's kind of fun because we're thinking, you know, oh, okay, you know, this could happen and that could happen, and we're talking, and we're getting prepared. Well, at least in our head, we haven't done anything, you know? But, you know, we're talking, you know, we're saying, okay, we need to start storing water and you know, plant a garden out there or something, you know? And we start talking everything, but who knows what's going to happen? To tell you the truth, you know, probably nothing's going to happen. But if something happens, who cares? What I'm saying is we know what's going to happen when we invest in God's business. Amen. Let me tell you something right here in 1 Corinthians 1:17. You know, over there where we read about Christ, and the story is that he goes to the temple, and you know, it says that that the reason why they were there is because of the custom of the feast. You know, their parents were people that followed customs. You know, they were in temples. They were worshiping God. You know, Jesus didn't, he grew up with God-fearing parents. And, you know, and that's something that, you know, we don't see too much nowadays. You know, we don't see too many people now, with these customs. We don't see too many people now that are really interested in seeing God's work go on. But you know what? I'm telling you that, there is nothing better than to be serving the Lord. You know, what a privilege we have. Seriously, have you thought about this privilege that we have? God has started this work from many years back. And I mean, great prophets have died. Moses, you know, Jeremiah, John the Baptist. All these people have died. But God's work is continuing. You know, God isn't worried about keeping great men of faith alive. He wants them here to do a purpose, to make sure that they're doing God's business, and then leave it to somebody else to follow their footsteps. Turn with me, 1 Corinthians 1:17. I want you to see something. This is God's business. I think we all should be interested in this. It says here, am I right? 1:17. Okay. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You know what? I remember a time, and maybe you guys too remember a time where we first got converted. Remember that way back then when we first got saved? Man, how impetuous we were. You know, how rash we were, you know, in our decisions, and our, man, do you remember when our pockets used to be full of tracks? Do you remember that? Do you remember going to a restaurant and leaving a track? You gotta leave a track. You know, do you remember, talking to people on the street about God's business, about salvation? Do you remember that? When we first got saved, what happened to that? What happened to, living for God and doing what God wants to do, save souls? Too many times I think we are just concerned about playing church, just going on Sundays, going, you know, once a week or whatever, and that's it. But you know what? That's not God's work. It's a daily thing. It's something that goes on day after day after day. And you know what? I think that me and you need to be concerned about that. Do you remember? Can somebody give me a glass of water? My mouth is so dry. I think I'm just nervous. I remember when I was working for Sam's Club. I used to work in night crew, and when I first got saved, I was working for them. And I remember this joy in my heart, just so much joy. I went to work. I would ask questions. Thank you very much. Thank you. I do this every day. I don't know why I'm so nervous. But anyways, it's true. That's true. It's a lot harder. Okay. Tough bunch. Okay. You know, and I was thinking about this. I was thinking about just the other day that when I first started in God's business, boy, I was on fire. I mean, let me tell you, we did some stupid things. I mean, I look back now, just dumb. I remember going to night crew, and I was waiting for them to, because at Sam's, when you work night crew, the, you know, managers go out, they say bye, they set the alarm, and they lock you in. So I'm sitting there in the, you know, break room, and I'm waiting for the managers to leave. Because after they leave, we all sit around there for about 10 minutes. Because, you know, you can't, no. There's a reason. There's a reason why we sit around. Thank you, honey. There, boy, you got some water now. You know, because the alarm has to activate. So we got to sit in there for 10 minutes before we go out there. Well, anyways, I used these 10 minutes to witness. But the thing was that God saved, he started to work inside my heart. You know, for, I mean, he saved me. But see, the old man was still there. So I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but whenever you go out there, whenever you're not in church and you go out there, maybe at your job, maybe at school, people don't talk like they do in church. You know, when you come in the doors, it's all, everything's, you know, really nice words, no cuss words. But out there, everybody cusses, you know? I mean, Christians shouldn't cuss. I don't cuss now, but back then I did. You know, I wasn't cussing at anybody. That was just the way we talked. You know, we just, every other word is a cuss word. And that's the cool thing to do. That's the way we communicate. Well, there I was, a young Christian witnessing with all them bad words in between. You know, I'm serious. But you know what? I did not know I was doing it. I did not know. It was me. There was a Christian brother there, by the name of Lelton Gray. And he worked night crew too. And one day he just pulled me aside, you know, and he said, "Brother, you know, that's great. You know, I praise the Lord you got saved, you know, that's great. You know, that's, you know," but he said, "Man," he said, "do you realize when you're witnessing to these people that you're using all these words?" And I'm thinking, "No, not me." "Yeah, you're using all these words." I'm thinking, "Oh no." So from that day, I made a point to clean up my mouth. But with the point I'm trying to make is we used to do that back then. Rash, just so presumptuous, just do anything because of the joy that was inside. Do you remember in the open meetings when you first got saved? You came, you sat down, you're thinking, "Okay, now what's wrong with Brother Linda? Why don't he start this thing? It's already almost 7 o'clock, man. We need to start singing. You know, why doesn't somebody stand up and call out something? Cause I got something to say. I got something to share." Don't you remember that?
Amen.
Back then? Well, you know what? God's business is still that. You know, it's just us that have kind of left the business to somebody else. It's like when you go out and you buy a plot of land, a farm or something, you know, or you buy a company, you know, and you say, "Okay, I want to grow so much money this year." But then you give it to somebody else to do it. Well, you know what? They don't care. They're just going to receive a paycheck. You know, that's all they want to do. Your business ain't going to grow that way. You got to get in there and do it. If you want something to be prosperous, you got to do it. Because no one else is going to care for it if it's not theirs. Do you understand? Well, this thing that we have been born into is ours. This thing that we have been given to do is ours. This preaching the gospel, this privilege that we have, is a share in God's business.
Amen.
Look again to Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see something here. I want to show you this morning how Jesus did business. How Jesus finished the work of his Father. Because he came down here and he didn't go off on different things. Let me tell you what happens, brothers. speaking about business again, let me tell you what happens whenever you get saved. Something happens, and I know you remember, when you first got converted back then, something, there's a term in business called a takeover. Isn't that right? Takeover. And sometimes I hear a hostile takeover. Who knows what they're talking about, but I know what hostile means. I know what takeover means. It's somebody, a big guy, is coming in to conquer a little guy, and he's going to take over, right? Well, you know, that's what happens in conversion. You got this old man, and you got this new man, and he comes in to take over. Amen. Isn't that great? Now, listen here. There's also another term in business called mergers. Well, you know what? A Christian shouldn't be one to merge the old man and the new man. You know, we're not here to say, okay, I want this of the old man, and I want this of the new man, and we'll put it together and we make one big glorious company. No! It ain't gonna work that way. God wants a hostile takeover. God wants something big. He wants you to purge the old man to bring in the new man. Do you understand that? That's conversion. But so many times, me and you, we want to be merged. We don't want this. We don't want this total conversion. Why? Because they'll call us fanatics. You know, in Mexico they call us aleluyas. You know, they think it's an insult. You know, the kids down the street, hallelujah, ah! You know, and they're laughing. I'm thinking, hey man, hallelujah, that's a good word. You know, and praise the Lord, they're doing it out of spite, but God's still getting the glory. Hallelujah, yeah, God, hallelujah. You know, but you know, who cares? We shouldn't be concerned about that. We shouldn't be concerned about what people say about us, what people think about us, if we have a vision. Our vision is God's business to save souls. Listen to what it says here in Philippians. I want to show you how Jesus did business. Philippians chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 6. Listen to what it says here. Who being in form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It says here, first of all, that he took himself no reputation. See? Made himself of no reputation. And then it says that he took the form of a servant. And then it says here that he was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself. Three things that I thought was essential to do a good job in God's business. We need not to worry about who gets a recognition. Well, yeah, we do. Jesus needs to get the recognition. Amen. He's the only one worthy of the recognition. Amen. Man, who are we? What's that text about after it's all said and done? You know, we're unprofitable and you know, all we I'm just kind of saying it out there. But anyways, it says something to the effect that we did. That's it. That's our job. That is our job. Just to do the work. We shouldn't worry about getting a reputation. You know, we shouldn't worry about who's getting the credit down here. No, this is the least we could do for God's salvation that He's given to us. There's nothing better, my fellow shareholders. There's nothing worth more in this world than to invest in God's business. Amen. What else does he say here? He says he humbled himself. Man, where has our zeal gone? Jesus was obedient. That's how he did God's business. He was obedient. You know, he was sent to do work and he did it. It says over there in Luke that he grew in wisdom. He grew in wisdom. Every year, just growing more and more in the grace of God and in wisdom. You know, me and you need to do some growth. We don't need to be just, you know, there came a point in my life when I was working, before I went to the mission field, that it was just, you know, get up in the morning, go do it. I wasn't even interested no more in doing it, you know? But you know, and that happens to all of us. We just follow a routine and we want to complete and then that's it. But you know, if we've gotten to this point, in our Christian walk. We need to really do some soul seeking, some soul searching. Man, we shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't want to be that way. We should be totally opposite. We should be so enthusiastic about God's business because we know how it's going to turn out.
Amen.
We know our investment isn't going to lose. We know whatever time we put in for the glory of God, it's going to come back. Just abundantly. You know why a farmer goes out and plants one seed of corn? He's going to get a whole bunch of kernels, a whole bunch of what do you call them, stalks. You know, he plants one to get a whole bunch. You know, me and you need to follow that philosophy. Me and you need to say whatever we do for God, it's gonna prosper.
Amen.
Whatever we do, and why? Because God's behind it.
Amen.
Another thing I saw that he had before I get there to understand what I'm talking about, the spirit that God had, Jesus had to do this work, the spirit of obedience. I know every one of you know what I'm talking about when I say obedience. You might have deceived yourself up to right now thinking, no, you know, nobody can obey, you know, God. I mean, come on, this is really hard. I need that merger thing again. You know, I mean, I don't need this takeover thing. I need this merger thing. Let me tell you, we've done it all before. Ephesians 2. Listen to this. Obedience. Do you remember way back then before you got saved? Do you remember way back then when you used to listen to somebody else? When you used to hear another voice? 2:1. It says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in the time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you remember back then when it didn't take that much? Somebody would just say, you want to do something? It's Friday night. And you would just, boom, you were enticed. Man, you just, wow, I'm there. Where is it? I don't care where it is. We'll drive 3 hours if we have to. Who cares? You know, as long as I'm doing something. Man, they say, well, we're going to go, you know, and drink, or we're going to go and look for girls, or man, you were there. Why? Because it didn't take much. Your flesh was enticed. Whew, you went right for it. Now, lots of you have grown up in a Christian church, and, you know, for as far back as you remember, you've always you know, heard the gospel. You've always, this is normal to you. You got saved when you were a small kid. This is normal to you. But a lot of us, a lot of you people that have grown up in this, there's going to come a time, or maybe the time is now, that you're rebelling. That somehow you think, man, this is not worth living. You know, this God thing that my dad or mom always talked about, this is not true. And you come and you start talking about this, man, get that out of your head. You know, this is garbage and this is from the devil. I'm telling you, this, you want to know what's real? This is real.
Amen.
This is real.
Amen.
You know, you young people, this is real. This is real. Man, life, work, money, careers, all great. All great. But if they come before this, you got something wrong. There's something wrong. God's business should come first.
Amen.
Your testimony, your life, your walk with Christ should come first.
Amen.
So you're a banker, so you change tires, so you sell snow cones, who cares? But God's business is being a child of God and doing the things that a child of God needs to do. I know that you know what I'm talking about. You obeyed once before your flesh. You obeyed sin once before, and before you were saved. And now it's the same thing. It's just totally the opposite. Now you got this new man in you, and you need to obey him. What does God want in his business? Souls saved. How does God plan to do it? His people. Should his people, should they be walking good while they're doing it? Yes.
Amen.
Should they be following his example? Yes. We have a plan right here exactly how to finish this business if we just get to it. And not play church, but get to it. Listen to another thing. Look if you would, Luke chapter 4. You know, I was thinking about this. Another thing that Jesus had is he had a call. He was called to do it. You know, I believe in a personal call, but I also believe in a general call. You know, you might be sitting there thinking, okay, well, that's for the pastors, that's for the missionaries, and I don't have such a call. But no, if you were put into the family of God, if you were put into the church, then you have a share. Maybe it's just one, you know, one share. But you know what? You got to share. The minute you were born into the family, God said, "Here's your share."
Amen.
It's going to get bigger. It has possibilities just to explode.
Amen.
But you got to invest. I give you this to start off with, and then you invest. Isn't that great? The Father has given us. We are equipped to accomplish this business until He comes. I want you to look at something. Luke chapter 4. You know, if a man believes that God has called him to do something, who's going to stop him? If a church believes that God has called this assembly to take care of God's business in certain parts of Mexico and in Poland and in Turkey and in different parts of the world, if this assembly believes really in their heart that God has called them to do this, who's going to stop
Amen.
Us? You know, your family's going to say, man, you know, why are you doing this? You know, why are you giving your money? Man, you know, Y2K and family and your kids and your education, when you start hoarding things, come on, man. Well, I mean, why are you spending so much time giving to these guys on, you know, that you don't even know, and they're preaching the gospel, so they say, and I mean, come on. You know, what are you doing? These are lost people. Tell me that isn't so. I know. I got lost family too. You know, what are you doing, John, down there? Come on, man. You know, we're over here. Remember, a long time ago, your parents came from Mexico, and now you're going back. You know, I mean, what's wrong with you? Over here is the land of opportunity, not over there. Oh, man, this whole world is a land of opportunity. There's lost souls. Let me tell you something. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus was sent. He had a call. You know, I remember Bill tells me the story that when he first was working with Uncle Dale, with Dale West, he was working down there in San Luis, and going out to the Huasteca, and, you know, going out to the mountains and stuff, and, you know, showing slides and everything. And all of a sudden, you know, Bill just started thinking about it. I don't know how the story goes. I might have it wrong, but believe me, my stories are always better. Anyways, so there he is. He's sitting there, and he's thinking, man, you know what? We should be preaching on the street. That's what we should do. I mean, the Bible says, you know, God chose the foolish of preaching. We ought to go preach. And everybody was telling him, you can't do that. You cannot do that. But you know what? He did it. He went out there and obeyed what he thought God was telling him, to go out and preach. And you know what? God has blessed.
Amen.
You know, I'm telling you, we need to get this back in our hearts. We need to get this back in our head, that if we firmly believe that this is what God has called us to do, who cares
Amen.
What everybody says? If everybody's saying it's not going to work, this, what you're doing is wrong, who cares? God said do it. And if God says do it, then we know He's going to bless. He's not just going to sin. I believe this is how Jesus accomplished His work. He obeyed, and He definitely had a call. And look what it says here. And I believe the church has a call also. 26:16, it says, I think I got that wrong. Let me see. Yes, I got it. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." You know, this is what Paul was sent for. Paul was sent as a light, you know, to the Gentiles. Well, you know what? Paul's dead. You know, he's long dead. But you know what? God didn't die. God gave us these words to continue on His work, His business. Sure, people die. Sure, people go on. But you know what? God's work shouldn't stop. Just because, I mean, one day, you know, I pray it's a long time from now. One day, Brother Lindell, you know, we'll have a memorial, you know, service for him here, you know, and we'll be talking about him, saying, yeah, there's good old stories, laughing it up, you know, not because he's dead, but because we got a good time. We had a great time, you know? And way back then, we would say, man, way back then, Brother Lindell said, I have to do something different. You know, I mean, God's called me to meet under His name, you know, and He started to work, and man, it's just gone. It's all over the place now because of obedience, because of a certain call that God gives to everybody. Amen. You understand this? It doesn't take anybody, with a way of words or a pocketbook or something. No, it just takes, for you to follow what God is doing. What it says here. It says that if you go, He's going to open eyes. If you go, He's going to take them out from darkness into light. These are His promises. His business is to turn darkness into light. Another thing I saw, Jesus had a vow. You know, vows ain't a bad thing. I think they should be, you know, we should make a few vows, not a whole bunch of vows. Not do it so loosely, you know, but there's some things that we need to promise. Don't you remember back then when you first got converted and you said, oh Lord, you know, I'm saved now. You know, I promise to serve you. You know, this is great, Lord. I give myself to you. You know, everything, every last bit of me is yours. And here we are a couple years down the road and it's not that way. What happened to that vow? You know what, Jesus had a vow to come to this world and die. He had a vow to preach the gospel. He promised it. It's written way back. And He came and did it. Well, you know what? Me and you, I think, brethren, we need to look back at the vows that we once made to God. Amen. You know, those precious, remember those vows? You said, Lord, just give me a job. You know, I'm going to support these guys. You know, I'm going to support my pastor. You know, I mean, just these vows, what happened to them? You know, what happened to God's business first? I tell you, sometimes we just put it aside. We say, no, I'm more important. But you know what? We're not more important. There's nothing more important in this world than God's business. I want you to see something else. Look with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 20. A couple more things I want to touch on. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. 20. Do you ever think about why true Christianity, why it's so slow in spreading? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, as I drive from Morelia to Michoacan, I mean, Morelia to the States, you know, you see a bunch of little ranches. You know, I guess on the way down, we saw three or four people, Jehovah Witnesses. I know the Jehovah Witnesses because they all have the same, you know, appearance. You know, they all have a portfolio and they all umbrellas and they got their Bibles and they're all over the place. Have you noticed that? That's not true Christianity. Jehovah Witnesses aren't true Christians. I'm sorry, they call themselves Christians, but they're not true Christians. You know, Catholics and Muslims and Muslims, they tell me it's one of the biggest, you know, growing, you know, religions in the world. But this isn't God's business. That isn't God's work. Why does it grow so fast and so much when true Christianity is just not like, man, it's just barely moving slow motion? I start thinking about that. Acts 20:24. Look what it says. It says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know why the gospel took off back in primitive church time, primitive time, when it first started? Because they counted their life not dear to them. But you know, I got to confess, lots of times I go out and I preach and it's there at night, you know, and I want to just preach and I want to go home to my wife, you know, because I just tired. I don't want to, my life is dear, you know, and I just want to leave that behind. And I'm thinking, no, I got other things to do. You know why? I think if we just really counted our life, not dear to us, but really consecrate our life to God. Consecration, man. You know, that's a word that is not even used anymore. Consecrate. When something is set apart, it's holy. It's not yours anymore. It's set apart for a special use. That's what we are. Amen. You know, God has saved us. He's consecrated us for His own work, for His own doing. To bring glory to His name. But yet, you know, we think of this ministry as something light. Well, you know what Paul says? Paul says, I might finish my course with joy. He says, in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel. You know, I want to ask you, brother, has this joy in God's business, has it just gone? Are you just working for somebody that you don't even know anymore? Let me tell you, we should have a joy in this. We should have a joy in God's business. This should be something evident in all our lives. I mean, as we live, as we work, as we eat, as we play, whatever it is, have this joy of Jesus coming out of us.
Amen.
But somehow, and I gotta confess, somehow we've lost this. Somehow we've lost what we had when we first got converted. But we still got the shares. We still got them shares. Philippians 3:7. Just a couple more verses. If we're gonna do God's business, then we gotta imitate what He did. We gotta obey God's word. We got to heed the call. You know, to take the gospel to the world. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Another reason why I think Christianity spread so fast back then. Look what it says here. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Man, I remember that time. I do. I remember that time, back working for Sam's, and all my friends just kind of poof. They just kind of took off, you know? I mean, you know, oh, here comes that holy roller, man. He's going to start talking to us about, you know, his Bible and stuff. Man, no more friends. It's just gone, you know? I'm thinking, boy, you know, okay, so who cares? I've acquired Christ.
Amen.
I have something much, man, talk about a friend that sticks closer, you know, it's Jesus, you know, man, He hasn't left me. And plus, look how many friends He's given me, you know, through the years. Man, I got friends now, you know, I thought I had friends back then, but man, the friends that leave you aren't really friends, you know, the friends that stick with you through the hard times, through the good times, you know, those are the friends. And I mean, my friends are now God's children. Those are my friends. You know why the church has spread? 3,000 souls saved, man. I mean, my goodness, where are we seeing that? They did it because they didn't count their life dear to them. They did it because they counted everything is done. It didn't matter. This is God's business. This is what's worth our time to do, to pray for. Do you remember when we used to pray? Friday night, Saturday night. Oh, man. You know, those meetings were good. You know, and it really convicted me too. What happened to our prayer life? What happened to those times we used to sit, you know, and just meditate and just talk to our Lord and just say, God, just help us. We need you in our work, in our life. We need you in every aspect, Lord. What happened to those days? Somehow they just kind of vanished. But I'm telling you, that's part of God's business too. Communion. That's part of God's business. One more verse. 1 Samuel 17. Let me tell you something also. There is a consequence to true Christianity. There's a consequence that we're all going to bear. If we really decide, if we get back, and you know, probably the majority of you are in God's business and you're walking good and praise God, keep on that course. I know there's gonna come a time where you're gonna get discouraged. I know there's gonna come a time when you're not gonna be on fire like you were before. But you know what? We need to remember that this is what God wants us to do.
Amen.
True Christianity, working for God wholeheartedly, there's going to be consequences. Just like David. Listen to what happened here. 1 Samuel 28. It says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto them, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You know, there's going to come a point if we decide to get busy, if we decide really to do God's business and really get on fire again, those of us who are not on fire, get on fire again. If this church decided, if this is the year that we really decided, got down on our knees and really decided, this year we're going to live for Christ. This year. What months we have left. Man, if we did that, what do you think people are going to say? Man, you're just doing it. You got other motives. Nah, man, it's a waste of time. Why do you do this? Why are you going to church all the time? Why are you sending money? Why are you reading the Bible? I mean, take care of your family. Take care of all these other things. This is going to happen. But you know what? I got to ask this question, like David did. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? I mean, what's the cause? Why was David so on fire? Why was he so upset because this giant was talking down the children of Israel, God's people? And he's saying, man, isn't somebody going to go out there and take care of this guy? Take care of God's business. God wants you to go and kill this guy, get him away from us and conquer this guy. This is what God wants you to do. And they said, man, you're just doing it because you're prideful, you're not in the use of your heart, all these things. But let me tell you, if we really get a vision, if we really set it in our minds, in our hearts, that this is what God's business is, then when those times do come, and they're going to come, if they're not here already, we're going to say, well, man, there's a cause. And the cause is that this world is dying. The cause is that this world is going to hell. Family members, you know, it's so important for us to live like Christians. Testimony. How many people have just gotten bad taste in their mouth because of the lives of some of us? Seriously, we need to repent. We need to continue on God's business. We need to continue the road that God has set before us to preach the gospel to the lost. Amen?
Amen.